Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you apply the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyday life. Welcome back to Abound in Hope. I guess this is season 4?
Season 4, 2023.
Yeah, that's wild.
I am Rex Gorman, and I am sitting here once again with...
Since I spoke first, it's Darren Larson.
This is Tom McGregor.
And this is Tom Regan.
Yeah, and we are back with season 4 of Abound in Hope. We are excited to kick this off. We took the past 2 months, I guess, off, just various things that are going on. Getting ready to launch Imprint Woodinville and Imprint Bothell again at the beginning of March. Excited for that. But this episode, we thought we would kind of give you guys a primer for everything, not everything, but a lot of things that are happening in 2023. Imprint Church is going to look a little different this year. There's going to be a lot of new stuff happening, and we kind of want to give you guys a category for it all. Is that right, Darren? Am I spelling that out the right way?
Or? Yeah, it's funny. We're all preachers here, so we have to come up with some sort of alliteration to go along with our messages, or at least I do. But it kind of helps us categorize things and helps us know what to look forward to. And part of this podcast was simply saying to when we talked about what to do for our Bound in Hope podcast was to say it'd be nice to give people on a regular basis just kind of consistent messages from people in our church, whether it's us leaders, whether it's just people in the congregation, some of our people we support, and just get a constant voice. We can't fit everything on Sundays, you know, and that's hard. So
yeah, I feel like I've been telling the lead team, you know, we typically try to aim for 3 things to kind of invite people into on Sunday mornings. And it has been so stacked ever since the beginning of the year. Really, even a little bit before that. And it's a really good thing. So I don't want it to not be that way, but it's also frustrating to try to pack everything in on
39 things.
39 things.
Averaged.
Gosh, see, it seems like it. 3-minute breaks abound. So.
And then my favorite thing is when someone says, I didn't know you guys were doing so-and-so. Like, yeah, that makes sense.
Did you get the memo?
Yeah, exactly.
When did you announce that?
Yeah, yeah, totally. Oh, Lord, help us.
So anyway, yeah, this is a way for us to kind of have touch points and celebrate things to... I mean, announce is kind of a weird word, but kind of explain things, pull the curtain back on some decisions that it's hard to unpack on a Sunday morning, and then also do some teaching that doesn't quite fit on a Sunday. So that's what you can expect from this podcast in 2023. But we want to be a little more focused about what's happening in the church coming forward. And Darren, you said, again, we have some alliteration because we are preachers.
Here's the 4 things that I think we're going to spend time on in this podcast. And we'll just go through them kind of systematically, and then maybe the guys have... rabbit trails as well in
Sounds
the whole
good.
Process. But they're all 4 M words. So here they are. The 4 things that we're looking forward to in 2023 are: 1 is multiplication, 2 is mission. We'll talk about that. Number 3 is mental health. And number 4 is marriages. And so that's where we're going.
That's exciting. Well, let's talk about multiplication since you said that one first. Multiplication is happening this year. Tom, talk about that.
That's right. We are planning to relaunch both of our locations, so Imprint Woodinville and Imprint Bothell, on March 5th of this year. So as we announced at church a couple Sundays ago, that February 12th was just a date, kind of a placeholder, if you will, like a marker that gave us something to shoot at back in the fall when we were looking at renting this church space. But as we looked at things, looked at the calendar, considered our new roommate, Mount Zion Church, that's been renting the Story Church building for, I don't know, like over 10 years. I've heard the number maybe 14 years. We felt like it would be a good idea for us to push back our projected launch date by a little bit to not only allow us the practical consideration of getting more projects done and not having such a time crunch, but a pastoral concern, a relational concern to really handle it wisely, not step on their toes, be wise about communication. So...
Yeah, you don't want to be the new roommate who comes in and knocks out a wall without asking, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, we're making a lot of stuff we're doing is updates in the building.
Sure.
And there's a lot of stuff that we're doing that will, you know, technically improve. But we want to do that at a pace that is not going to alienate people who are also part of the body of Christ, even though they're not part of our church body. So you use the word launch Woodinville and Bothell. That's something that we've been talking about. Why are we using that language right now?
I think the multiplication aspect is important to think of when we think of relaunching 2 locations, because when we launched Imprint Bothell 5 years ago now, hard to believe. Mm-hmm. It's pretty amazing. We first launched it. It felt like we, Imprint Woodinville, were launching Imprint Bothell. Mm-hmm. And it felt like...
Sending us out.
Mm-hmm. And there was a piece of that. Right, let's be honest. Yeah. I mean, this was... We didn't know what mm-hmm. it was going to look like and all that kind of stuff. But we also felt during that time, in the first couple months, 3 months, 4 months after that, it was a little bit of a shell shock for Imprint Woodinville. There was a sense of like we'd sent out... Like mm-hmm. Like on one hand, it was like exciting. We'd kind of fulfilled part of our mission. We were able to plant a church. Awesome. That's really amazing. Mm-hmm. But then we kind of were like, well, what next? You know, like, what are we doing? And was that really the mission to plant the church? And then we also felt kind of a vacuum of leadership, of
volunteers
and all that kind of
extroverts.
Stuff. Extroverts. No, they all went over to Bothell for some reason. That's what church planters are. and so we said, like, you know, in terms of planting, again, this is an interesting thought because I think a lot of people haven't felt an urgency for planting as much as they have before.
Right.
And that's because we've learned a few things along the way. And so in launching and multiplication, what we want to do is want to see more leaders raised up, more people doing the ministry. We'll talk about mission in just a second. We want to see like an excitement again to kind of see what God could do at Woodinville and excitement to do what God can do at Bothell. And we want that to happen again. And so,
So we'll get to the mission piece, but I think I said this at, I don't know if it was a leadership meeting or if this was a hosting time on a Sunday morning, but the mission has not changed. The feel of this is very different.
Yeah.
You know, I like analogies. As I was thinking about this earlier today, I was thinking, why does this launch time feel very different than the first? Well, it's a completely, well, not completely, it's in many ways a very different situation. So when we first launched Bothell 5 years ago, we were like, this is brand new. This is like, is this even going to, like, we're building from scratch.
Yeah, how long is this going to last?
But now it's like we have a church and we have a church body called Imprint Bothell that is twice the size of what we launched with. So we don't have the same kinds of needs, if you will. We don't have the same structures in place.
It doesn't feel as scrappy.
More. Yeah, it's not as scrappy. Yeah. And here's my analogy. In 2018, it's like we got together, a small team, to build a house and move into it.
Yeah.
Well, over the last 5 years, we've built a house and we built the family. The house is the people. And to mix my analogies, we're moving into another house.
Yeah,
like we're moving into a space, right?
So the house is moving into a house.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really messed up. So building from the ground up, we moved into something.
Yeah.
Well, that thing has already been built and there's a whole lot more people and it's like we're renting a house now. We're going into something, right? And so it's going to be moving into a place is different than building a place. And so I would say to folks who might be feeling like, well, who maybe were with us in the initial launch, this is a different thing, but we're fundamentally after the same mission.
Yeah.
We want to plug people in to serve. We still have a church body. We still want to use our gifts. All of these fundamental biblical pieces are still in play.
Yeah.
And well, just, I think you had something to say, Tom, but just for a second here, to give some like really practical numbers on this. I mean, we've been asking for surveys for the last few weeks and we just kind of cut the survey off because we're like, we're good now and kind of figuring out what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And I mean, you had 100 people that launched or a little more than that. Launched
There was about 65 adults and maybe 40 kids. We had about 100 people total. Now we're at like 260.
280, I thought.
Yeah,
wasn't it 280?
Like that, 270, going something like that.
And there's like 330 or 40 that are sticking around at Imprint Woodinville.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is so crazy. We're like, totally. This is amazing. No wonder it's been so crowded on Sunday morning.
Oh, my gosh.
So
when I first got to Imprint, or actually just during the interview process, you guys were asking some questions about the dynamic between the two locations and asked a lot of questions. And one of the things that kept on coming up was it felt like when we gave birth to Imprint Bothell, the mom had been hurting and was tired.
Yep.
But then 2 years into Imprint Bothell, there was an element of this kid that was birthed is growing up and wants to assert some independence and create its own identity. And so there wasn't the unity. It's been really cool to see the unity become like a thing over the last several years. And initially one of the metaphors we used was like, it feels almost like now, you know, the independent teenager has to move back in with, in this case, her sister, and they're sharing a house. And we want to maintain that unity as we multiply.
Yep.
But also this isn't a birth,
because
both communities have an existing identity.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's a maturity that I think has developed in that unity over the last couple of years, which kind of like, I feel the move towards that, that mission.
And we will be intentional about keeping that unity going forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So we've talked about multiplying, about, you know, as it were, the kid moving back out for the second year of college or something like that. Like, they did the hard work for the first year. Now it's like there's not as stressful this time around. What is the mission? Because I feel like for some churches, churches who are planting churches, it can be easy to conflate the multiplication piece and the mission piece. So what is the mission of Imprint Church?
Yeah, to make and multiply grateful and generous disciples through the gospel of Jesus Christ.
I thought, what about the app? There was something there.
Download the app.
Through the app. And that happens through the app.
That's how you become a disciple. Yeah.
No.
You download our app. Yeah. Yeah.
But what does that look like moving forward? Well, how do we keep?
Yeah, what I've been thinking is that the launching of two new churches, if you will, the relaunching of two new churches is a secondary goal. And I've been thinking about it that way. And this is one of the hard things for us, because I think for most of us right now, we're thinking it's a primary goal, or it may feel like a primary goal because we talk about it so much. Mm-hmm. Although some would argue that we haven't talked about it enough or haven't put enough energy into it. But part of that is just because we're what we just told you. We feel like we're in a great spot to get this thing going. And there's just a few moving pieces that we need to be a part of. But what's most important to remind our people is that the secondary goal is the planting of churches. The primary goal is to make disciples who glorify Jesus, you know, who are grateful and generous disciples. And so as we think about this, like, we have to think, and this is where it goes back to the multiplication idea, is that part of our mission is to see our people feel, know, and experience real disciple ministry in the role that they're at Imprint Woodinville or Imprint Bothell. Mm-hmm. So they're thinking to themselves, I have a role to play in the planting of this church or the replanting of this church. And if I don't do that, then this whole thing's going to fall apart. I remember early days of Imprint Woodinville. This goes back 11 years ago now, where I think a lot of our core team thought to themselves, man, if I don't show up on Sunday, this whole thing's going to fall apart, because I need to be a part of helping make disciples in that place. Yeah. So whether my disciples are kids, or I'm greeting, or I'm helping on the music team, or whatever it is, like, they thought to themselves, I need to be a disciple maker, a grateful and generous disciple for the glory of Jesus. And we used to say, man, we're going to make much of Jesus on this Sunday morning. And so we just happen to be moving places to do this well. But the goal, the mission really is to see our people have this focus on, how do I know that God has placed me in this place to make disciples? And I want to talk more about, like, loving the place where God's placed us to in just a second. But I think that's the primary goal. You guys agree?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And within that, the glorifying God as we do that, that's what gratitude is.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
pointing to his attribute of generosity. And that's what generosity is it's mimicking him in that and putting God on display in a particular place at a particular time. But if it's, there needs to be that feeling of, if I don't show up on Sunday, this isn't going to work. Mm-hmm. That's certainly true. But also, if you don't show up
on Wednesday or something, good call.
And Tuesday, yep. and in the lives of your community, the whole thing falls apart. This is how mainline denominations die: is you get a church that owns the building and doesn't have to make rent because they're a part of a giant denomination.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've lost sight of the gospel, and it's just about getting together and doing the liturgy on Sunday. Like, that's not the living God reigning over much of anything. It's it's a relic of a dead king.
Yeah.
You know?
And yeah, exactly.
We don't want to be a part of that. And so there's a missional aspect of showing up, not just on Sunday, but on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah. Showing up on Sunday and letting that be a almost ascending, a recommissioning every single week into the community.
I mean, we do it because Jesus commanded us to.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's a good reason.
Yeah.
But 100%. He also commanded us to, like, live life together.
Exactly. Yeah. And one thing I am, you know, that's one side of that's one ditch, I guess, or that's one outcome of, like, having a place. I hope that an outcome of Imprint Bothell having, like, a permanent place and not having to do the setup and tear down thing. Having been part of a church before that did the setup and tear down thing every week, it was hard to get volunteers to do really anything else.
Because there's only so much
they had
energy.
All the capital was spent on doing the Sunday morning thing. And it was great. Yeah. It was unifying. We had great relationships as a result of that. But when we said, hey, let's do this thing on Wednesday night, we're going to go and serve, we're going to hand out sandwiches and do this thing, it was hard to get anyone to do it because they were so worn out.
So tapped out.
I'm excited.
Sunday.
I'm excited to have you know, there will be some stuff that we have to do for Imprint Bothell on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to basically be able to put that capital somewhere else and see what happens in the community. And that might kind of lead into what you wanted to talk about next, Darren, about loving the place that you are. You talked about this a little bit at the leaders training we did a little while ago, and I thought it was great.
Yeah, I did. I think one of the things that I was compelled about recently, I was reading through an old church planner's manual that I had, and there was some comments in there about kind of feeling like you should be a missional, planning a missional church. That's actually the name of the document I was reading to, or the book I was reading. And so I began to think about the missional church name. I mean, it was like a really cool phrase. It was like the catchphrase in the 2000s, kind of like seeker sensitive was the catchphrase in the 90s or whatever it is, you know. And but I began to think of that word. I remember reading books on missional church when we launched Imprint years ago and kind of thinking about this. But the idea was is that we are called as disciples, as disciple makers, to do that in our communities and to be a part of our community and love our place that we live. And so one of the things that I have been both convicted about recently and compelled to share with us and our congregation is just to know that we need to love the place that God has called us to be in, you know, and to say, like, even in the early, when we were first launching this idea of relaunching the two churches, we told people, if you don't feel called to a certain place, go to the place you live closest to. Why? So you can love the place where you're at, you know? And I guess for me, and I don't want to pick on anyone here, and I know I can step in a ditch if I'm not careful, but you guys can help me get out of the ditch if I do. But
maybe, I don't know, you might be left to yourself.
I've just seen a growing discontentment from Christians or with the Seattle area over the last few years. And I get it, you know, on one level, like there is frustrating things. I mean, it could be as simple as the cost of living is so much here. Sure. It's like brutal. Yeah, this is hard to live here. And, but it's also been, I mean, let's just be honest, it's been politics. It's been,
during the pandemic, it was masking stuff.
It was all, and I think what it's done is created a bit of resentment.
Well, you also lived in a place, Darren, I remember you saying, you would wake up and there was needles like on your front sidewalk when you lived in Seattle. And so people are rightly disturbed with the condition of humanity in Seattle.
Which is different than, and so I don't love them anymore. They disgust me. Right. I'm repulsed. I want to get away. Versus God says, oh man, I love those people I'm going towards.
Right. I'm just saying that's a factor in what leads to people's frustrations about the Seattle area. And what Darren's cautioning against and what we would wholeheartedly get behind and say is like, no, we have to learn how to, you can look at the world around you and say, yeah, things are hard and things are not as I would want them. They're not as God would want them either, right? Let's keep them calm on earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And I've wanted us to have a vision of the Seattle area a little bit like that, right? Like this sense of like, man, these are the people that God has placed me to be around, to reach, to befriend, to care for, to look upon, not with disdain like Jonah looked upon the Ninevites or something like that. But rather a sense of like, I have a compassion for them because they're lost and they need people. I mean, that was that was God's comment to Jonah, right?
So shall I not pity that great city?
And even the cattle that live there, you know? Seriously. Like, I mean, he cared for the city and he wanted them to know. And I have attributed this a little bit to like Paul's journey in the New Testament in Acts and him going to various places like Athens or something. He didn't show up there and be like, man, I hate that place, the persecution, the policies, the rulers. I'm never going there. Like he instead, which it goes back to what you were saying a second ago, Tom, the Bible tells us he was deeply distressed about the idols that he saw in the city.
And so you know what he did?
He went to the center of the city.
And he evangelized
them. He evangelized them. He went and talked to them, cared for them. And then the religious people there, by the way, in this story, made him so mad that he told them, hey, your blood is on your own heads. And then he goes and hangs out with the irreligious people, right? And for a year and a half, he was there in Athens for a year and a half, and he treated the people.
That was Corinth, I think.
Oh, was it Corinth? He left Athens and went to Corinth, and then he was there a year and a half. Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, so anyway, I mean, it's just one of those things where I want us to love Bothell. I want us to love Woodinville. I want us to love King County. And I want us to feel like we're on mission here. And that's the church planting thing that we have. And that goes for me, too. Like, I sit in my barber's chair just 3 weeks ago, And she was telling me about her experiences in growing up here. She was sent to a Christian school as a kid. She didn't really believe in Jesus, but she had some bad experiences there, and it caused her not to want to go to church anymore. And so I told her I was a pastor, and she's like, oh my gosh, that's so crazy, you know? And so we just started, yeah, she's like hacking my head, you know, just kidding. But we just started chatting more and more, and I was like, man, you know, and at one point I'm sitting in the chair, in the barber's chair, telling her the gospel, like explaining the gospel to her, how what she experienced there was not necessarily what the gospel is. You're experiencing something else. And I remember just feeling kind of compassion towards her, like, man, yeah. You have this view of the church that's very different than it really is, especially the view of the gospel. And I want you to experience God's love and God's grace and new hope and sins forgiven. And yeah, anyway, yeah. Mission.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me throw an idea here. When we Please were in do. The book of Jeremiah, I was struck when he says there's destruction, he's announcing destruction on Jerusalem because of the people's sin. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician here? Why then has the health of the daughter of my people not been restored? And you keep reading into chapter 9, verse 1. Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain daughter of my people.
Hmm.
So that's talking about the people of God and the sin. And like, what is our attitude towards sinners? He had compassion. He weeps at the thought of their destruction. And then when I think about Jesus, and I think there's application there in Jeremiah and an attitude and compassion toward his own people, but I think that can extend and should extend to our attitude and compassion for people who are lost and outside. So the disciples in Luke 9, when they go, they want to go through Samaria, and they reject Jesus there because they're Jews, and the Samaritans didn't want them there. And when it says in Luke 9, verses 54 and 55, and when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and rebuked them.
Yeah.
So they have this righteous indignation. They've turned away Jesus. Like, we believe in this one. They turned away Jesus, and he rebukes them.
Mm-hmm.
He's not on their wagon for the judgment wagon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can take any passage and you can make that your primary paradigm. And I've heard some people they criticize people who say we should love our cities. And say, oh, what was Jesus' attitude toward the cities? Woe to you, Bethsaida. Woe to you, Chorazin. If the miracles,
bad reading.
If the miracles that had been done in you were done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented. So yeah, that's true. There is going to be judgment for them on their rejection. But to take that and say that's Jesus' whole attitude toward the city. Why did he come? The Son of Man came that he might seek and save that which is lost.
Yeah.
Right? He weeps over Jerusalem. He laments, "I've longed to, you know, gather you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wing."
Yes.
There's compassion. Yeah. He weeps.
A woe.
It's good.
I mean, a woe is not necessarily like a curses be on your head, right? It's it's a cry of anguish, isn't it? It's like a am I thinking wrong there? Or is that like when Jesus is saying like woe to you? It's obviously he's not damn you. Yeah, right.
There's a sorrow that's there.
Yeah, exactly.
The New Living Translation says, "What sorrow for you?" Or that's how it translates. Woe.
Yeah.
It's not a damn.
Yeah.
It's not a.
It's
necessarily
a pity more than anything. Like so.
I appreciate how you shared with me something earlier, Tom Regan, about your heart towards people right now and kind of what you're thinking about. You gave kind of the categories of people. And I think of that with the mission that God's called us to, and you've called them sinners and sufferers. Mm-hmm. Like, would you explain that a little bit about what kind of like God's been speaking to you? I'd be cool to hear in terms of mission.
I felt like, not that my sense of calling as a pastor has changed, but I felt like the Lord kind of gave me a clarifying sense of my calling is to bring grace to sinners and sufferers.
Mm-hmm.
We're all sinners and sufferers. I mean, there's different ways that you can talk about humanity, but as a pastor, I see so much suffering in the lives of people, and I also see a lot of sin. And those two things together just scream out for grace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so when we look out on the wider area of Bothell and Woodinville, when we look out on Seattle, we should see a mass of humanity that is racked with sin and with suffering in desperate need of God's grace. And we are the bringers of that good news of grace in our words.
Yep.
But we can also be the bringers of good news in terms of in grace in our works and how we treat people.
Yeah, Jesus is constantly around sinners and sufferers, and then that's what we are too.
Yeah.
So it's not we're coming in with the messianic complex thing.
No.
But also, he turns us into saints.
Yeah.
And so, like that, there's a book called Sinners, Sufferers, and Saints. Yeah.
It's a paradigm that I've heard of before, and I can't remember
there
if it's a book or if it's a...
Well, the Gentle and Lowly, the Gentle and Lowly book, its subtitle
is... That's right, Dean Orleans.
Is where I kind of got that helpful, yep. like first grace for sinners.
Yeah, there's
and
that 1 Thessalonians 4 passage or whatever it is that has that sinners, saints, and sufferers idea. Mm. But
yeah, it's Michael Emlett.
Oh, interesting.
Saints, sufferers, and sinners.
Huh.
Yeah.
I have not read that.
There it's it good. Is.
I just think, you know, if I can say something, maybe not 100%, you can pick on my saying, but I just think Jesus needs Christians in Bothell and Woodinville and Seattle. And I mean, actually, you could probably argue that's the right thing to say. Like, honestly, like, we need Christians.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
we get the
has.
Idea.
Yeah. Has. Yeah. And if we don't have those, we miss out on being disciples and being, you know, making much of Jesus in these areas. And so I want us to feel compelled in the launch, in the multiplication, to think of ourselves on mission. You know?
There's the apartment complex that's right next door, our new neighbors for Imprint Bothell, which seems like an immediate opportunity to apply that.
Well, and you're thinking about this year, McGregor, some new potential ministry partners and things like that that we're kind of processing. And we've had some ministry partners in the past, and you guys recognize them like the Woodinville Storehouse or World Relief or others that we've had. But we're kind of thinking, like, what do we have that's specific to Bothell?
To that area. As well as what are new opportunities in Woodinville?
And if you have any opportunities for ministry, missions partners, like, these are missions partners that we've supported financially, that we've sent our generosity groups to, like, we'd love to hear more of those.
Yep. Yeah, they become conduits of God's grace and love to the neighborhood, an opportunity to grow, and an opportunity to encounter Jesus where he's already at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've talked about multiplication, we've talked about a mission, and we could spend an entire podcast talking about the mission of the church.
I have more to say,
that.
But I held back for time.
I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, you should be.
I could see it welling up within you,
like,
sitting across from me.
I'm going to deflate myself here.
The mission of the church is a cool thing.
And I saw McGregor trying to say something, but I just kept talking. Right. I'm just going to keep going.
So if you want to know more about the mission of the church, come talk to us. We have a lot to say about the mission of the church. Please do.
This is a good thing.
This is a great thing. If you're curious, then that's awesome.
Yeah.
But we do need to move on. And the third thing you talked about was mental health. Why mental health? Why focus on mental health this year for 2023? Why would we prime people for that?
We're in the middle of a mental health crisis, have been for a while, but it's particularly acute, and that means that probably a significant minority or the majority of the people listening to this podcast right now are experiencing a mental health crisis themselves.
Yeah.
Or are being impacted through a relationship with somebody that is in the middle of one.
Yeah.
If not full-blown mental illness, which is a different thing entirely.
Yeah.
But it's important, if we're going to be a faithful witness to King Jesus, we should have some maybe not expertise, but some capacity and some competency to suffer with others, to be present and empathetic in relationship with others. And that starts in this little Jesus community where we get to try that on as family members.
Yeah.
But it must extend to the community that we find ourselves in.
Yeah. How is Imprint stepping? How are we practicing, and how are we stepping into to kind of be a safe place in that? I know safe place is a weird, loaded thing to say, but to be a place where people can come who are in the middle of suffering,
can encounter the grace and healing of Jesus.
Yeah. How are we doing that this year? Why 2023 and what's that look like?
Well, I think I got waved at by both these guys. I was like, go ahead. Oh, I guess I'll do it. Well, I think
since you wrote the script, maybe.
No, I did not. No, we have no script here. I think
really.
I mean, I'm looking at your computer anyway.
Having a focus on mental health this year looks a little bit like this. We have practicums that are running right now. One's mm-hmm. is going on immediately or right now. It's called Hope Coaching. We're training Hope Coaches.
What's
which
a
is,
Hope Coach?
It's peer-to-peer listening and helping people learn how to take a next step from kind of hopelessness to hope in a specific area in their life. It's not long-term counseling.
But it is a specific formal relationship is distinct from like just being involved in the community with a person.
Yeah.
A timeline you meet 3 to 5 times, tops.
Yep. And then that Hope Coach helps you kind of self-discover in some ways or process or the Hope Coach asks good questions about leading you down a certain path on taking a next step towards something. And that next step can be anything from joining a group, getting involved in something like Grief Share, like being reading a book, listening to a podcast. I mean,
seeing a counselor.
Yeah, seeking out counseling.
All of these things that are really helpful. And so we've trained a group of kind of somewhat hand-selected people within the context of our church, not to make anyone feel bad about themselves if they hear this, like, why wasn't I chosen? That wasn't it. It was more so people like who are generosity group leaders, who are part of our ministries, who have, you know, taken some steps about wanting to be involved in a counseling type peer-to-peer ministry. And so we're training a group of people, which is great. Right after this one, once they're certified, we run another practicum called
A Priesthood of Believers. That's well, it doesn't matter. I'll get into that later. But
yeah,
basically the idea is to do a basic overview survey of mental health, mental illness, and what it looks like to be priestly.
Yeah,
there's a lot of language you can use, but basically provide some peer-to-peer pastoral care in a non-formal environment, in a relational way, and then do some like a little bit more work around some of the more common mental health crises that people might be going through.
Yeah, and the goal of that is not necessarily, we're not trying to like train people to be professionals or anything. We're just trying to familiarize people with what is happening around them.
Yes.
And yeah, in a way sort of get rid of shock and have people ready to be friends and intercessors and advocates for people that
for
are in their
another.
Community.
Yeah.
The goal really in some ways is to destigmatize the idea of mental health and mental illness in the church and to talk about how common it is and how big of a problem it is. Like McGregor just mentioned a few minutes ago.
It's like 1 in 5 or something.
Yeah,
people that are self-reporting deal with mental illness.
In the US. We want to normalize the conversation of this. So it's not, and we at some point Imprint Church has to choose a lane to run in. I mean, there's different ways of viewing how to handle mental health crises within the church. Some of them are really unhealthy. I would say, some of them are unique, but I think for us, we kind of chose a lane where we kind of said, well, we want to figure out how to use a biblical and psychological perspective of dealing with different things that are coming up. And so, so how do we view suffering through a biblical lens, but how do we view through a psychological lens as well? And what does it do?
What does common grace equip us to understand from a clinical perspective that will, by virtue of common grace, not contradict God's word?
And to take a biblical approach to that is really helpful, and to say, man, the Bible's really helpful in helping you understand things about your human condition and things like that. You know what also is helpful is using the professionals that God has trained, that we have trained, that God has raised up, and whether the church or outside the church, to help give professional help.
And obviously, there needs to be an exercise of discernment
things,
right? Like, we don't just swallow everything. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to medicine, we accept that God has granted common grace to the world and to medical doctors who
do research.
If you broke
your arm, you'd go to the doctor.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
I understand there's a little more complexity in terms of, you know, some discernment when it comes to understanding what a human being is. There are some psychological presuppositions, you know, that don't have a biblical understanding of what a human being is. But you got to take those things into consideration and not just say, well, there's not going to be anything out there that's been researched that's going to be any help to the mental health conversation. Like, I think we should, the Bible tells us everything that we need to know in order to know God and to live a godly life. Mm-hmm. It doesn't tell us
with wisdom.
But it doesn't prescribe everything. It doesn't tell us everything. And I don't think that's insulting to God's revelation to say that, you know what I mean?
To say that sometimes, you know, a nerve ending is bad. And because of that, there's a mental health problem. Like, that's not bad.
Yeah. So after the Priesthood of Believers practicum, which, by the way, if I could just ask, if you're listening to this podcast, would you sign up for that?
Like, yeah,
seriously, we would like the whole church to be there.
I would seriously like the whole church to be there.
It'd be problematic for space, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, it starts on March 1st. No, when is it?
7th.
The first Wednesday of March.
I think that's March 2nd. Let me look real quick. I have a calendar.
So yeah, it starts.
I don't want to brag, but
like,
I have a calendar.
Seriously, take a minute, pause this podcast, go and sign up for Priesthood of Believers.
Yeah, it's the first of March.
The 1st of March. And so we have childcare available. We'd love to have you there. It'd be great to share this time together. Man, if we can train a whole group of people in pastoral ministry of our church, how impacting would that be? Even that's for right. The mission of the church. Like, if we do have visitors showing up on Sunday from the neighborhood, that'd be just awesome.
Yeah.
So
yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, this will culminate in the end of it with kind of, there'll be an overlapping week or something like that, if I remember right, but with the our next Gospel And project, which is the Gospel and Mental Health.
We have, so quick pause. What is the Gospel And? Because it's been, I got here in 2018,
yep.
And I think the last time that we did one was 2017, something like that.
Yeah. We've always been convinced that the best thing to do on Sunday mornings is to go through the Bible.
Yeah.
Like, just open the Bible, read the Bible, and explain the Bible.
That's a non-controversial.
So
it's just our, it's our thing. We're like a one-trick pony around here. It's like, what's going to happen when you come on Sunday?
Not a lot of creativity. I'm not that creative. Just what's the next paragraph say?
Or you, like, got any cool sermon series ideas? I got 66 of them.
This book right here has enough. I can, yeah, we can spend our lifetime on this thing. So yeah.
Thank you for that.
So
you're welcome.
With that in mind, the funny thing is, there are topics out there that are really important that Christians should talk about.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking originally in my early days, man, there's all kinds of things that I'd love to talk about on Sunday mornings, but we have an hour and 20 minutes on Sunday mornings. And,
yeah.
And so they became issues that we need to figure out how to deal with, complex issues in the culture. Like, we've done sexuality, we've done gender, we've done race. And the idea is, like, how do we view this through a biblical lens? It's not the biblical lens, I will say. Like, we do these things...
it's like an introduction.
Imperfectly. Yeah, they're intros. I mean... But they're also a way for us to start the conversation in the context of the church. Like, if you can't talk about these things in church, where are you going to talk about them? You're going to get your news from the podcast and the news stations and all that stuff. It just seems problematic to me.
And mental health has really come to the fore through the pandemic and all the things. I mean, all the statistics that you were seeing about depression, anxiety, loneliness, like, everyone's saying, hey, look, this is really an exacerbating type of thing for mental health.
Yeah, so to Tom's point, we decided to do the Gospel of Mental Health, you know, and say we can't talk about this much on Sunday, although you will hear us dripping things, and I'll get to that in just a second. But yeah, so we'll do the Gospel and Mental Health in March, and we invited Dr. Kevin Van Lant from Rosemead School of Theology at Talbot at Biola's campus there in La Mirada, California. And he's a clinical psychologist who will come and join us and spend a week, just Saturday evening, March 25th from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And you can get a free space online.
There's only 200 slots for this, just for the sake of fitting people in the building. There's only 200 slots, but we really would love to pack the building out because we think this is important. Childcare is available.
There's 198 because I already registered.
There's people that have already registered.
I was going to say there's a bunch of people that have registered already.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, Imprint, if you're listening to this, sign up early because we are inviting some community partners. So, I'm pretty sure this will sell out. So would love to have you join us for that. And I think from that, and then you'll hear Tom and I on March 26th, we'll share a little message.
We'll share a little message. That was a nice
talk. Sermonette.
Sermonettes makes Christianettes, Aaron.
We'll do a sermon on that Sunday that's based around scripture, but we'll also talk about mental health and kind of the Gospel and weekend.
We'll be in the Psalms.
It'll be appropriate.
Yeah.
And so that will launch us into a season, which we're kind of calling a pregnant pause to talk about and allow people to process mental health stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so from really March until I'd say the fall, we want to make availability for our congregation to, is come clean the right word? That's not the right word. To just share.
To walk in the light.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and hopefully you'll hear it on a regular basis from the pulpit as much as we can as we're jumping through scripture and just mentioning, hey, there's Hope Coaches available, this formal relationship where you can actually meet with someone to talk through things. We've created a pipeline as well. You'll get it at the Gospel and Weekend Gospel of Mental Health Weekend, where you'll be able to show up there, and I think we'll have it available through our app or something like that, where it'll show you, here's different tracks you can take that if you need help in various areas, and they lead to all kinds of different things, which is super great. Some of them are like things that you might be able to handle on your own. Like if you have a family member who has a mental health issue, we'll have resources for you for that. But if you have a mental health issue that you're struggling with and you haven't been honest about that yet, we'll give you a pathway to take in that too. And we'll hopefully do that well through the summertime and just kind of continue to talk about it and bring it up.
Yeah. Let me ask this, in all of these ways, I guess with Hope Coaching, with Priesthood of Believers, with the gospel and mental health, what is your dream behind this? What is the dream for Imprint Church as a community behind all this? Like pie in the sky kind of dream? Other than actual pie.
Well, let me just throw one simple thing out and then you guys can add to it. But one of our aims is to destigmatize mental health. It used to be even when I was younger, I feel like if people found out someone was going to counseling, you'd immediately assume like, oh, whoa, like what's going on? Like that's like major crisis going on. And now, thankfully, I think if some of you find, that's a lot of people go to counseling. It's like people who aren't necessarily in crisis who feel like, hey, it would be helpful for me to process this with somebody who's kind of like outside of my circle, who's trained and who can help me kind of navigate some of the complexities of life. I think that's a really good thing. But sometimes in the church, unfortunately, we have this idea that as long as you have the Bible, you have the Holy Spirit and Jesus, like you should be able to pray this stuff through and be okay. And I think this phrase.
That's a lie straight from the pit of hell.
Yeah. But like 40% of Christians believe, like 48% of Christians believe that mental health and mental illness can be prayed and read the Bible away,
It's doing the Jeremiah thing, or the thing Jeremiah accuses the leaders of Israel of doing. It's treating the wound as if it's nothing, too light.
Yeah. So I think destigmatization is one. You guys, I'm sure, have things to add on top of that in terms of what are the aims.
My dream would be that people would say, so what, that person's in a mental health crisis. Not because, like, no big deal, but, like, the church should be the place where shame does not rule the day.
Yeah.
And grace is the expected disposition that everyone expects to receive. So they're like,
To clarify, when you say so what, you're not like, hey, so-and-so's having a mental health crisis. You're not saying that.
So what?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that people would not allow that to dictate what they do and don't share, but that we would be a community of honesty and openness so that somebody could, instead of like nursing a mental health crisis or illness for decades on their own, they would like open up about it immediately and just be like, I've like got, you know, bipolar or paranoid schizophrenia, or I'm going through extreme anxiety and I can't even sleep and it's like killing me. And the stigma is gone, like you said, but then also that because of some of the things we're doing now, that God would make this the kind of place where people would experience healing. And I don't necessarily mean like the woo-woo, witch doctor, pie in the sky spirituality of like people come in and there's mass healings, get people getting pushed over, not that kind of thing. You know what I mean? And God can do what he wants, and I'm like, I'm down for that. Not the pushing people over. That's weird. But
they should fall over on their own.
Because this is a place of openness and honesty, and people are getting real with one another and with God, that we would see God move and see people healed from crises. For sure.
That's great.
That we would see people find a space to follow Jesus and flourish regardless, not in spite of.
That's a good word.
The reality of like illness. We're living between the ages and Jesus hasn't returned yet.
I think for me, just so we can get to our last M, unless you have something, Tom, as well, is that I just want people to know, my pie in the sky is that we are here. We're not experts in mental health. Like, I don't pretend to be at all. I've read a lot recently and we've tried to kind of work ourselves into this a little bit, but we just want you to know that we are here to walk the journey of mental illness with you and your family and the community that surrounds you. And we as Imprint Church want to be there to say like, we're with you in this whole thing.
moving on to the last one. You
final
said the
M.
Last, the final M was, would you say marriages or marriage or?
Marriages, yeah. So it's one more piece of the puzzle that maybe intertwined a little bit with mental health and kind of the stigma of things that are going on right now is that it's hard to admit in the context of a church that your marriage is going bad. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to admit that to your generosity group. It's hard to admit that to your friends. It just feels overwhelming and it feels like there's nowhere to turn.
It could be embarrassing.
It's embarrassing, yeah. And I think likewise in this, we want to we don't want to normalize bad marriages. What we want to normalize
the struggle. It's hard.
Yeah. It's, marriage is tough.
We're going to let people walk in the light.
Yeah. And so one of the things we've been wrestling with, and we're going to explain this more as we get closer to the fall, is that we don't want to in this way alienate singles or to help make people think that your primary aim in discipleship is to get married or something like that.
No.
It's not what we're saying.
Yeah.
But we recognize that COVID, that years, that job losses, financial insecurity, all the things, all this stuff you throw in a blender and mix thoroughly, and out of that comes stress on marriages. And I'll just, you know, as one of the pastors here at Imprint Church, I know that marriages have taken a beating over the last couple of years here, and we've seen it. And so one of the things we wanted to do is talk about marriages and figure out how we can actually build healthy marriages and what that would look like. And so we've tried to do certain things before. We had a marriage thing at one point here, but we want to do something with a little bit of follow-up in it as well. We're starting to develop what we're calling marriage mentors, ministry mentors here that would be part of our church that we're going to be training this summer, kind of secretly a little bit too.
Sort of like Hope Coaches.
Sort of like Hope Coaches, yeah. Because again, we believe in peer-to-peer ministry around the church, so this is a big part of it. But to have people, we just want you to be free to come and say, man, we are struggling. We're 3 years in, marriage is hard. We're 30 years in, marriage is hard, you know, and then to figure out what to do with that.
Or even our marriage has been dead for 30 years, and we're not happy with that.
Yeah.
And we don't know what to do.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I might add that the pastoral heart in us says we want people to flourish. We want you to experience life and vitality and what God intended. But the bigger issue at stake is God created marriage to visually represent covenant.
Yeah.
What his relationship is like with his people. And so our marriages are supposed to be a living illustration, a proclamation, if you will, to the world around what the love of Christ and what the faithfulness of Christ is like and what the church's like loving, you know, submission to Christ looks like and to picture that in the world. And so on the ground, pragmatically or relationally, like we care about how people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
God cares about how people are doing. God also cares about his covenant, his name being upheld. And we have a desire for it to see that witness shine pretty brightly if you have beautiful marriage.
Yeah. And for folks that are single or don't ever want to get married.
Yeah.
Whatever. Like, we need you as well.
Yeah.
Because you're part of the community. You have a vested interest as a sibling to see marriages flourish as what Tom said, like an image of Christ in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, like, Crystal and I have received a lot from single friends. In support and encouragement and accountability of like, dude, like should like work on that, whatever it is. And
I think with that will come up hopefully some things that were in the darkness before that hopefully can be in the light. Certain things that we've talked through and wanted to bring out, like if there's marriage infidelity, addictions out there, whether it's pornography from one or both spouses, I mean, just communication issues and things like that. There are just so many things that we'd like to bring up. And again, hear us here. We want to walk the journey with you in this one as well, just like the mental illness one.
Yeah.
And we want to make this available so that people start to bring who they are into the context of the church and say, man, the Lord can meet you in that space. And we don't think you're less than human being because you're dealing with this, and we want to work with you and see the Lord doing a miracle in your life.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Well, in anything else to say about marriages?
I would just say, let me just throw out an invitation to pray about all these things. If you listen to this podcast, just think through these categories. Think through, this is the life of our church, that we're giving a little preview of what's coming up. what's going on right now, and we believe that it is not wise for us to just make plans and just do stuff.
Yeah, good.
Right? Like, we need the Lord to lead us. We need the Lord to empower all of this stuff. If we're going to see lives changed, those who are struggling with mental health issues, marriages that might be struggling, like, he needs to enter in, and this needs to be Spirit-empowered so that we're not just functional atheists acting religious.
That's good.
Yeah, I love that. So join us in praying in that way. Let me ask one more question. I don't want to start a huge discussion. What is your hope? And I got to say, you're like individual or together or whatever. What's your hope for someone who considers himself a part of Imprint Church at the end of, like, by the end of 2023? What would you hope for them?
I would say meaningfully engaged in deep relationship. Like, I know you don't get a bestie all the time. Like, we're not saying, hey, you got to find your best friends this year, but we've been saying there's no discipleship without relationship.
Totally.
We've talked about traveling partners, being involved in the life of the church. So when we invite people to serve on a ministry team, it's not because we just need to put people to work so that we have a well-oiled machine. It's for your own good. It's for you using the gifts that God's given you and being meaningfully involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say almost verbatim the same thing. And in that relationship, not just you one-on-one, but you in that relationship experiencing God. So experiencing God together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you, Toms. I think having a sense that church isn't just a thing you do, but it's a family you're a part of.
I hope so.
Would be so important to me is that, because family, you're just part of it. You do it. You're in there. You're always involved in it. And there's you're in each other's messes. You're talking about the things. You show up. You know, it's a big part of it. You know, like, just showing up to things. Healthy families, anyway. And so I think if we really view ourselves, I don't want people just to think I go to church on Sunday from 9 to 10:15 or whatever, and then I'm out. I want them to think this is my community and I'm learning how to be a Christ follower in the context of this, no matter if I've been a Christ follower for 50 years or 5 minutes, I'm learning how to do that. And I'm making space for relationships in the context. I'm joining in as a traveling partner with someone else. I'm involved in someone's life. I mean, we're trying to make space for relationships next year too. Should we tell them the fun news about our gathering times? I mean, no.
Dude, the look of
we're cutting that. You have to come back for that.
Yeah, so. That's the cliffhanger.
Yeah, totally.
But no. In all reality, we are praying for you guys and gals in Print Church. Mm-hmm. We're praying that you would feel yourself as part of a family. You know, it says we though many are one in the body of Christ. And so I hope that this year we grow together, and as we move forward on this mission to make grateful and generous disciples through the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you you catch a sense of the wonder that you get to be a part of that, and that it flows out from being something that you do on Sundays into something that's a part of you every day.
But cool.
For now, we'll say goodbye. We won't drop any more hints about anything that's happening, Darren. And
by the time this comes out, it's already going to be announced. So
you don't know that.
You have to wait for it.
But anyway, we will see you soon with more from Abound in Hope. Later.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org.
Party.